السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حضرت مفتي صاحب أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you this beautiful morning. Hope you are in the best of health, مفتي صاحب. إن شاء الله the platform is yours.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم مولانا سليم كريم. جزاك الله خيرا to our technicians, brother Junaid Khan and brother Zakaria. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 7th of Ramadan Mubarak 1445. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, today we are starting a new selection of verses. So all of you go to Surah Furqan, chapter number 25. In the 19th Juz, 19th Supara, before the first quarter ends. So chapter 25, Surah Furqan, the criterion, and our lesson will start at verse 63. And if you don't understand chapter and verse, go to the 19th Supara before the ending of that Surah, the first quarter, and then you see there that there are 77 verses in this chapter, in the surah. So chapter 25 and verse 63 is our starting point now, inshallah. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala from year till the ending is showing us who are the true servants and slaves of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. As human beings, Muslim, non-Muslim, we have to accept that there is a supreme being who is making the sun rise for millions of years now with precision and accuracy. Who is making the sunset? Who shows us the beauty, the glory of the full moon on the 14th night? Who sends the rain? Who created our eyes, our ears, our tongue? Now I am speaking to you live, and you in different cities and countries and continents listening to me. So who makes all this possible? Is it the internet? Is it a scientist? Is it a professor? Nay, hasha wa kalla, never ever. It is only Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. Allahumma laka shukru kullu wa laka alhamdu kullu. O Almighty Allah, all praise is only for you. O Almighty Allah, all gratitude and thanks is only for you. Chapter 25, Surah Furqan, the criterion, verse 63, 19 Supara, the first quarter, 19 Juz, and before the quarter ends, the last 12, 13 verses. So Almighty Allah tells us and informs us, Wa ibadur Rahman, your son's name, your husband's name, Abdur Rahman. So the slave of the one who's very, very gracious. Almighty Allah is addressing all of us, plural, collectively, Wa ibadur Rahman. And the true slaves and servants of Almighty Allah are who? وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هُنَا. When they walk on this earth, they walk with humility. Sometimes because of our health, because of our wealth, because of our assets, because of our knowledge, because of our rank and status in society, the way we walk with such pride, and you can see the way we walk and talk, and that will make manifest the pride and arrogance of that person. So what is humility and what is pride? Al-ashya'u tu'rafu bi-azdadiha. anything in Islam you want to recognize, you must study the opposite of it. So humility one side and pride, arrogance the other side. He Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi sallam was asked, Mal kibru ya Rasulullah, what is arrogance and pride? He Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi sallam said, Patarul haq. When the truth dawns on you, you don't want to accept it. Somebody tells a person, you are conjuice, you are bakhbakhil, you are a miser, you are a stingy person, and he is stingy, but he says, no, I am very generous. A person is a serial liar, like Bibi Netanyahu, and he says, no, I am the most honest person. So now the pride of his has become the obstacle, impediment. People today, you tell them that you close the masjid and the mosque so many months and so many weeks and so forth, so apologize, they'll say, no, we are justified. So that is the pride becoming the impediment and the obstacle. So like that you can use 100,000 examples. And the second alamat and sign, waghamdun nas, the people who are telling you, you consider them to be inferior and ourselves to be superior. So that is the sign of pride and arrogance. So once we accept we are wrong and we apologize, then that will be humility. That will be the true sign of tawadu. And we don't have to look down and degrade people. Many a time people we look down upon by Almighty Allah, they are greater and superior than us. So that is the great quality we should learn. Today a person asked one alim, one sheikh, now ye Quran spoke about yamshuna alal ardi hauna, so when I drive my car, how will I know I'm humble or not? So he said that if you stick to the speed limit, so that is fine. You drive 100, 250, 200, all that, and now because you got a new Porsche, you got a new Ferrari, Bentley, and Cadillac, or whatever, so now you want to show off, so that is showing off. So we should all be thinking, Ramadan time, we are reading Quran, we are the imam, we want to tune it up, you know. And that is now showing our pride and arrogance. So 101 examples. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا, the true servants of Almighty Allah, when they walk on this earth, they walk with humility. So they thinking, reflecting about their death, post-death, what will happen. أَوَّلُكَ نُطْفَى, O human being, your starting point is the semen and sperm. وَآخِرُكَ جِيفَى, and your ending is you'll be a corpse, and your body will be decomposing, disintegrating, and between the starting and ending were bainahuma al-qadara, and in between we are carrying the najasat, the impurity, and we are carrying all the things which we go and relieve ourselves with. So for how can there be so much pride? وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا, and when the ignorant people address them. So now today you tell a person music is haram, he'll justify it, he'll tell you, no, this Mawlana, that Sheikh, that Waliullah, he used to play music. You tell a person Taraweeh is 20 rakats, he'll tell you, no, it's 8 rakats. You tell a person that 3 talaq is 3, he will tell you, no, it's 1. Trinity they believe in, 3 in 1. So such people, you call them jahil. That they won't listen and they will continue because they got a hidden agenda, ulterior motive. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, the genius, the giant he was, his honorable teacher was Imam Malik, rahimahullah. On several issues, he differed with his honorable teacher, so people told him, but that is your teacher, O Shafi'i, rahimahullah. He said, Malik, Habibi, that Imam Malik is beloved to me. Wal-Haqqu, Habibi, and the truth is beloved to me. Wal-Haqqu, a-Haqqu, a-Yuttaba, and the truth should be given preference. What a lesson for the Ummah, what a lesson for the scholars and the ulama, what a score lesson for people who have that quality, that they're seeking and searching the truth all the time. So we waste our time with jahil people who are arrogant and they want to prove their point of batil and falsehood. So we should not waste time with them. Quran Sharif states, وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and move away from the jahil people because they don't want to listen. If the jahil, ignorant person, jahil means ignorant, if he wants to listen, then he will thank you that you taught him the truth and so forth. But others are on their ignorance and they want to justify it. Like today, you will find majority of people, they want to justify their point and they will use everything at their disposal to prove their ignorance. So rather you move away from them, make salam and just carry on. Chapter 7, verse 199, وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Continue commanding the good and turn away from the ignorant ones. Chapter 7, verse 199. So for you Khautengers, remember there's still another 3-4 minutes left for you. Take your medication, give your wife the last peck on the neck and whatever else you want to do, goggle your mouth, goggle and water, insert water in your nostrils if you've got a compulsory bath to take and so forth and so on. So remember, you've got 3-4 minutes left now, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let us go around the world, locally, nationally, internationally, with the news, views and interviews. Today is day 164 in the Gaza genocide. Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, one jutla dead there in Gaza, dispatched to hell. We are very, very happy about that. We have no empathy, sympathy for these jutlas. And the Haaretz newspaper writes, Israel learned nothing from October 7th. They still make the same mistakes and repeating it. The settlers can do as they please. They can steal, they can harm the Palestinians, sometimes murder them also, and they'll get away with impunity. That is the so-called only democracy in the Middle East. This is the moral army, the most moral army in the world. So the world is saying, who are the murderers and who are the real terrorists? So Israel underestimated Hamas. They thought they will beat Hamas in just 1 week or so. So Hamas is stretching them and beating them. So they are murdering our innocent babies and children and men and women. And Hamas attacks their army. And it is told to them as a warning, if Hamas is doing this to you, what will Iran do with you? And Lebanon do with you? Hezbollah, they'll finish you up. Trump said Zelensky is one of the greatest salesmen in the world. Every day he's asking for arms, ammunition, and so forth. Finally, some aid reaches the northern part of Gaza after several months. Scholz Scholz, the leader of Germany, says there must be no starvation in Gaza, and he says he made it very clear to Bibi. I wonder if he knows that Bibi Netanyahu is a serial liar. Putin wins a landslide victory there, remember, in Russia. It's his fifth term as president or prime minister or whatever. So meaning he's running the show there. So another 5, 6, 7 years will be his also. If he doesn't die, that is. So then it's Putin will run the show there. Here there are 2-3 items we should really take heed in South Africa and America and the world. Zuma, Jacob Zuma, JZ. His party, the MK, so their youth league leader says, if Zuma is disqualified and his name does not appear there in the ballot paper and so forth, there will not be any elections in South Africa. Meaning there will be huge, huge problems. So there will be chaos, mayhem in South Africa, and especially KwaZulu-Natal, all of us, not only people in Natal. Every one of us should be reading chapter 12, Surah Yusuf, verse 64. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمٌ. And Donald Trump, he warns, if I don't win this election in November 2024, there will be a bloodbath here in America and it will be the end of democracy. So you can see that they're all heading for civil war. America heading for civil war. South Africa, Allah have hifazat, make us hifazat, keep us in his hifazat, protect us, grant us safety, security, and Israel also heading for civil war. So there, if it happens, it's very good with the jutlas. So with the jutlas. See, when you make a mockery of the deen of Islam, in Dubai, a hotel, must be several hotels got this, They got there on top Ramadan specials, and in the menu they have the red wine and tequila and this and all that. We don't even know all these things here, but there's alcoholic beverages and drinks and so forth at special prices, and they call it Ramadan special. Well, from Islamic perspective, such people are murtad out of the fold of Islam. They're making a mockery of Islam and a mockery of Ramadan. Allah Jalla Wala punish them if there's no guidance and diet for them. Muslim prisoners, remember, in England, targeted with pepper spray. So this is supposed to be Rishi Sunak, that the Indian Prime Minister from India, and he allows all this. Muslims are targeted in some of the prisons there in England. What a shame and disgrace. UNICEF says more than 13,000 children killed by Israel and Israeli forces in Gaza al-Mubarakah. Listen to India, how Israel, the rogue apartheid terrorist Nazi regime, says they are the only democracy in the Middle East. So India says they are the largest democracy in the world. But see what they are doing. So foreign students reading, performing Taraweeh, Salat and praying in their own hostels, those Hindu thugs and mob and terrorists, one should call them haramis, they go and attack the Muslim students in the hostels while they are praying. So this is now praying, the Muslims are praying, and those Hindu thugs and mobs go and pray on them, prey, and then they want to speak about democracy. So they should give them a good threshing, this Hindufta. So Niger, see the African countries, how they're waking up. Niger ends military cooperation with the United States. Well done, Niger. If I was there, I should have come and shook the hand of your leaders. Well done. All these French and Americans and whiteys and white hegemony, you must kick them out. We don't need them. They want to treat us as second-class, third-class haramis. Look at EU. EU goes, European Union, 27 countries, they tell us, they grant Egypt $8 billion US dollars package. Why? They want to keep the Pharaoh in power, Sisi, another murtad harami, so he can go and suppress Islam and subvert Islam and suppress the Muslim Brotherhood. So that is what the Westerners do, the whiteys do. BB says Netanyahu, the war criminal and the butcher of Gaza, he will attack, assault will take place in Rafah. That is what he said. Haiti in absolute chaos, run by gangs. Americans sending chartered airlines and planes there to get their citizens out. Already yesterday it started. American aid is coming in slowly now to Israel because BB and Biden are not seeing eye to eye. You know what? I'm receiving so many problems with husband, wife, parents, children, and now in Ramadan on top of it. So my parents, my children, my brothers, sisters, husband, wife, that Ramadan is a time of dua. Wake up suhoor time early. Iftar time, go to your musalla. You the men in the masjid, you the women there at home. Leave your samosas and bhajas and all at that time. 5-10 minutes before sunset, turn more and more to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will help us, inshallah. Today's lesson on history, there was a king, and the king's name was King Alauddin Khwarizm Shah. So remember, he extended his borders there in Afghanistan to the Darya-e-Amu. Darya-e-Amu, in our Arabic, we call it Ma-Wara-un-Nahr. Those of you who study Hanafi fiqh properly, so you will know about Ma-Wara-un-Nahr, the Hanafi jurists, many of them came from that part of the world. What is Ma-Wara-un-Nahr? It is this river. I saw it also when we visited Uzbekistan. So between Uzbekistan and between Afghanistan, you will see Darya-e-Amu, in Arabic called Ma-Wara-un-Nahr. So that is what he was doing, and he was extending, and this was in the year 1200 Gregorian calendar. Our program today, inshallah al-Aziz, 8:30 to 9, the interview with Mohd Zahid and myself, We will discuss Saudi Arabia, how they want the people to behave during Umrah and so forth, and it's a disaster for Muslims. So anyway, we will discuss that, you understand, lesson for the people going for Umrah, going to Medina, who are there already. And then 1 to 2 will be tafsir of the Noble Quran, inshallah. Then 2 to 2.30 will be report back our trip to Benoni. And then inshallah al-Aziz, that the programs will continue as normal, inshallah al-Aziz. Ji Maulana.
A.K., why are Muslims not buried in coffins, Mufti Sahab?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Islam is a religion for all places, all types of people, all categories. One coffin, my brother, how much does it cost you? 5,000 rand, 10,000 rand. You are putting the people into debt before their death. They have to go and take out funeral insurance and so forth and so on. And what is that coffin going to help that person? So now when the person dies, buy a new suit for him and put him in a coffin, call the limousine. So Islam says all these are unnecessary expenses. The person in Malawi, the person in Niger, the person in Burkina Faso, the person in Bangladesh, Pakistan, in the rural areas, from where will they get all that money? So Islam says no. Simplicity is the hallmark of Islam. It is practical, and it is, you know, something any person can practice on. My father and mother passed away. Allah grant all of them Jannat al-Firdaus. So we bathe the deceased. For the male will bathe them. Female, the female will bathe them. We enshroud them, word for the men, 3 pieces of cloth, calico, white material, and women, 5 pieces. We perform the Salatul Janaza, funeral prayer, and the son of the soil, the lady of the soil, we take them back to the soil. No coffin, no nothing. You show me which religion is more practical for humanity and posterity. Therefore, all the religions are dying a natural death besides Islam. Islam is on the rise, and here you can see it. What makes you a Jew, a Christian, a Hindu, a Buddhist, wake up so early to listen to us? That shows that Islam alone is that magnet, and it attracts humanity.
Why do Muslim men dress up in white dresses like women?
Remember, did you see any photo, any snap of Jesus, peace be upon him? How was he dressed, my brother? Was his attire a suit and tie? Was his attire that a short pants and safari suit? Was his attire, you must remember, that what you are wearing now, your jeans and so forth and so on? It was always a long robe. You look at Mary and you will see that she has a scarf on and so forth. So this is the dress and the attire, the libasut taqwa, the clothing of piety and the clothing of the prophets and messengers. Your attire today is unisex. Remember the jeans, you don't know which one is the male and which one is the female. So your socks, you can wear male and female. So everything today, that is why you'll have transgender, born Eve, but Eve becomes Steve, born Steve and become Eve, Macron the Harami, so the leader of France. So according to their own sources, they are saying that his wife, his so-called wife now, his wife was a she, now was a he. So now who's who in the zoo? So that is what happens when you follow your culture. You must remember that. So you will see that the people will wear less clothes, and they will have nudist beach, and on that they will say this is their progress and modernity and so forth. So therefore, Islam teaches us honor, respect. You see, just now, 2 minutes time, 3 minutes time, I'm going to the mosque to read prayers, to going to the Masjid to read. So what do we say? Ya Bani Adam, khudhu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. O you children of Adam, when you go and pray there in the mosque, so go with clothing of honor and respectability. You can't be going with some funny clothing there, that when you go and bend down, then your crack is showing and so forth. Are you crack or what? So therefore, we should be very, very clear on this issue, that Islam teaches us honor and respect. And if you want a reference of that verse, chapter 7 and verse number 31. Let me tell you a quick story. When I graduated in varsity there at RAU, Rand Afrikaans University, it was still under apartheid. So you must remember, they wrote me a letter. They write to all the students, and they said no jeans allowed for the graduation, and no techies allowed. So I wrote to them that I don't wear suit and tie and so forth. I got my religious garb. They said, no, that's fine. You don't have to worry. Imagine a non-Muslim university, an Afrikaner university, is telling you, you can't come here for your graduation with jeans and techies. So what do you want to speak about clothing? So therefore, we should remember, Islam teaches us respect and honor at all times, all places. And now, so you urafu bilibasihim, people are recognized by their clothes. It's not hadith, it is a saying in the Arabic language, a proverb.
Socks are filled from the sides of the masjid instead of from the center to sides. This creates chaos in the masjid. Can you please educate Muslims how socks should be formed?
I am very disappointed, you know, what a majority, I won't say all, but I definitely will say majority of our imams. Wherever I read, if I read Salat in 5-10 different masajid, so you will find maybe 10% of the imams, or 15% at most. The imam will say stow, will say that, look, straighten the serfs, fill the gaps, and you know, so forth, look right, look left. 90% of them, once the iqama is finished, they don't look right, they don't look left, they don't say straighten the rows, Allahu Akbar, they just start. That is anti-Islamic, is against Islam. لَتُسَوُّنَّ صُفُوفَكُمْ أَوْ لَيُخَالِفَنَّ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. You must ensure the sufuf, the rows behind the imam are all straight, all the gaps are full, سُلْدُّ الْخَلَلْ. And remember, تَوَسَّطُ الْإِمَامِ. In Islam, we fulfill our duty with beauty. So the imam must be right in the middle, and then the right serve, and then the left, and so forth. So imam's duty is that, to ensure. But the majority of our imams, they don't bother. They just come like it's a job they're doing, and just finish the salat and read dua haphazardly most of the time, and just walk away. That is not the job of an imam. Al-imamu dhaminun, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, the imam is held responsible. So go study Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahaba and the khulafa. Taqaddam ya fulan, ta'akhar ya fulan, come little bit front, stand little bit back, suddul khalal, fill the gaps and so forth. You the imam, you must not start your salat till all the sufuf are already filled properly and so forth. So may Almighty Allah give us tawfiq to practice on our deen of Islam. Always take pride in what we do. Fulfill our duty with beauty. Inshallah, we'll continue at 20 to 6, inshallah, second round. Now you listen to my brother Maulana Salim Karim Hafidhullah, and at 5:20 or so, then Mufti Aku with the kiddies program. You children 9 years old and younger, send your numbers here to my brother Junaid Mota, 084 786 3132, and if you answer the questions correctly, 100 then for you. So for five children, inshallah, there will be 500 then daily. 084 786 3132. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.